The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Now, welcome, and usually the parking lot is available. The handicap, I'm sorry that it didn't work this time. And so welcome, and so you probably know this, but it's being recorded, so you can catch up with the morning by listening. Maybe say names and go around just to, so that.
You can just say your name.
Sage.
How about your pronouns?
Oh, yeah, your pronouns.
Sage and also she, her.
Conrad?
Hola.
Is it mandatory?
It's a strong request.
Okay. He.
AJ, she.
Elisa, they, them.
Kay, she, her.
Letisa, she.
Hi, AJ. I'm Sharon. She, her.
Asia, she, her.
Casey, see her.
Clarence, he, him.
Shri, he, him.
Kristen, she, her.
Barbara, she, her.
Alan, he.
Alan, he, him.
Jennifer, she, her.
Gil, he, him.
Paul, he, him.
So I'm going to start with, did Jennifer say it was going to be boring now after lunch? Yeah. So I'm going to start it off. And so I'm going to follow the list of the components of the program. And so hopefully you'll, some of it you know, it's been presented elsewhere, but hopefully the repetition is useful here. And the dates here are on Friday once a month, except for February, where we meet for Friday and Saturday at the IMC's Retreat Center in Santa Cruz. And there'll be more information. It's overnight. Stay there Friday night. And so there's more information about that as we get closer. But if you want to ask questions about it, you could ask me. I'm the one who knows that circumstance. And otherwise, it's here. And in terms of parking here, I think that we have a request that, if possible, don't park on Birch Street, because that's how we create the nicest relationship with our neighbors. And it's kind of okay for this number of people. It's just that sometimes we used to have 100 people come here at a time. But just in general, I think just keep it. And there's lots of parking nearby, up and down Hopkins and other places. And so you can if you need to. And certainly if parking lots, the accessible parking should be available if you need it. And if there's other reasons why you need to be closer, for sure. I mean, you can park right in front then if there's a need. But the request is. And then, as I said this morning, we want to help, all of us should be thinking about caring for the building. The Sati Center is a guest here for IMC, so we want to be able to turn the building back at least as well as it was when we came. And idea is to audio record all the sessions here. So both so if you miss a session, or if you find it useful to re-listen to, which some people find it very helpful to go back and listen and hear what they didn't hear the first time. You know, it's interesting to see the different things we pick up on. The most likely place way that you'll have access to them eventually, they'll make it onto the course website, and there'll be a link. They'll be stored on Audio Dharma, and I might also provide you with the code, so you can go directly into the series for this program, and so that'll happen in due time. So, Jennifer.
too. So that's why, but in some of the materials you'll see volunteer work, or we'll say volunteer work, yeah. So I know you're thinking about where or how you're going to do that, or a lot of you are. And so we have some leads for you. It's a bit of an adventure to figure it out, and you'll learn a lot just by thinking about different things and talking to different people. There's no paperwork required. It's on the honor system that you do 100 hours. The purpose is that you can apply what you're learning and what we're teaching to real-life situations. It's one thing to have a Dharma discussion about the parami of patience. It's quite another thing to be with somebody who's really obnoxious and you're on the other side of patience, you know. We're like, I thought I could be okay with this kind of situation, and I'm so distracted by my own memories, you know, and then you process that, you know, and maybe you go back the next time and not as much. But so just, it's really where the rubber hits the road is the purpose. For people who are thinking about doing professional chaplaincy, we highly recommend that people do a volunteer position in a hospital where they can meet with a lot of people in a context that's accustomed to having spiritual care provided to people in crisis. On the other end of that, there's people who've been like, I'm taking sandwiches down under the bridge where some homeless people are living. I'm going every Saturday afternoon. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to go to a protest march and write Chapman on my back and see what happens. I'm going to, within my Sangha, start, you know, letting people know that I'm in this training and I want to support them in their practice, and I'm going to set up Zoom office hours and see what happens. And you don't even have to be called a chaplain. You might be doing work where you just realize there's opportunities to have conversations that are kind of open, but maybe you don't go towards them quite as much because it feels like that's another role, or I don't know how, you know, like, I'm a physician. How do I listen and actually ask people about where they find strength and meaning? And what if they answer that question? And then what do I say next? You know, so this will hopefully help you, again, have meaningful conversations and companion people. And there does seem to be a direct correlation to the more service work people do, the more they learn. It's a mysterious golden rule ratio, whatever golden mean, whatever you want to call it. So I'll leave it at that. We do have some leads that are posted, and if you're struggling with this, you can talk about it in a mentor interview, you can also, if you know of something, like maybe you find something and there's three positions, you just post something on Slack for other people. But this is a very alive conversation for the first couple months of the training. Yeah, exactly. Tag your it, Paul, activities between class. Oh, sure, go ahead. Sorry. No, you can, because we're moving on to another topic. Oh, I'm about to knock off your hearing devices there. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah. I'll leave it on because she...
It sounds like you're not required to have a mentor at your volunteer job.
Correct.
Okay. And if you... I don't want to make this sound like I want to be a professional chaplain, but... If you wanted to be a professional chaplain, then should you volunteer at a place where you actually worked with a professional chaplain? Or
it's likely in a healthcare setting there will be a chaplain in place for you to become a volunteer chaplain. Whether that person will actually mentor you or not is really unpredictable. And I've seen people who had a mentor in that kind of setting and thrived on it. Other people had no mentor and thrived on that. So it's a little bit your own temperament.
So you just have to kind of figure it out, a way to insert yourself or whatever into these situations or people's lives.
Yes.
Okay, wanted to get that.
And then there's a track record of Kaiser Hospital often has volunteer chaplains. So most Kaiser hospitals, it's a good door to knock on, although who knows post-pandemic.
Right.
You know, like some places we had people placed here, and then they stayed on for a few years, you know. But then the pandemic kind of, the first thing a lot of healthcare institutions did was shut down volunteers because they had to have more control over who was coming and going.
You're up in Napa? Because, you know, Bill Hart is still working up there?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I'll find out. We had a long-term, in the first, 20 years ago, the first group here, a man who stayed really closely in touch with us for many years. And he
was working as a chaplain up there. And I'll email him and see if he knows for opportunities. And I think your question also was about getting a resume for CPE?
No.
I mean, just, so, okay. Okay. Yeah, so, okay. Okay.
Okay. Now the never-ending list of activities between classes. I hope you have nothing else on your schedule for the next year.
It's a pretty long list, Paul, so you should probably just do a few and then pass to one of us. This is like 80% of this presentation. You don't have to do it all.
Okay. So, readings. Each month there will be a recommended book, and as best you can, read them all. Now, there's one on ethics, and that's a big book, and it's a very dry book. So maybe we'll highlight the significant chapters that would be best to read. And, of course, if you want to read the whole book, please do. There'll also be different articles that will be posted on the website. Usually they're about a specific issue of chaplaincy or a specific kind of chaplaincy. And they're very informative, and they're easy reads, yeah. And then for writing assignments, thank you. There, previous alumni of this course have offered us their books, and now the books are in the library, which. You know where that is? It's on the other side of that wall. If you go out that door, in through there, you'll see the library. And so you can borrow the books, keep them for the course, or just read them, and then that probably would be best if you just read the book and then returned it to the library.
Yeah, there's two kinds of books. There's actually the ones in the library, which you have to check out. But you can check it out for. I think they have most of the books in the course, and then there's the ones that former students have given us to pass on to you, and they're now out on the counter out there, and so you can just help yourself to the ones that are there. There's all in a row, and then it's possible we can. We haven't requested last year's people if they want to send in some of their books that they don't want anymore. So if maybe there might be more next month.
Okay. Writing assignments. There'll be a monthly writing assignment. Each month you will receive a short Dharma story, and then you write a reflection on that. And that will be one page. And here's something someone told me last year. They said soon after the class, they would read it, and then they would either write themselves notes, or they would write the response. And then they would set it aside for a week or two and then read their own comments, read the story again, read their own comments again. So the emphasis on reflection, it's not so much, you know, what does the story say and what does it mean? It's more how does this stimulate your own process around being a chaplain? You know, what's the emphasis of this story, and then how do I personally experience that and relate to it? And those writing assignments, we encourage you to share your writing assignment with your buddy or your small group. And it's fascinating, you know, as someone who reads these stories, I'm often amazed at how many ways you can attend to them, you know, the different emphasis or different approach. So it's really enriching to share your story and to read other people's response to the reflection papers. Do we specify a volunteer hours?
Oh, you know what? I crossed that out. I covered that already.
Okay.
But let's not skip past the assigned reader business that was part of the writing assignments.
Oh, yeah. Yes, thank you. You'll be assigned a reader, and then we'll tell you who your assigned reader is. Actually, there'll be a chart that will be posted. And then you can look there who you're supposed to send your paper to. And then Gil and I like to have it in a Word program so we can write comments and then return it. And what's your preference, Jennifer?
I host office hours where you can come and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
It could just be 15 minutes, but I just prefer to talk about it. Rather than just write something in that old-fashioned kind of scholastic way.
Would you still want to receive the document to read first?
It should kind of be via Slack, yeah.
No, not. Yeah, so.
When you say Word, could it also be like a Google Sheet, so you have access to the link, and then you can make comments in that?
That would work for me. Would that work for you, Gil?
I imagine it could work. I imagine I could maybe make it work.
There was a tentative yes there.
Very, very tentative yes. I think what I'd prefer is I think to get it in Slack, and I don't know exactly how Slack works, but if it's a embedded like with a Word document there, you post it there. That would be the easiest for me, because then I can keep, it's easier for me to keep track of it. And I suppose you would if you did the Google Sheets, you would send a link there. So I can just click on there and get to the link. And there's something about my process. The reason I was tentative is that I'm so accustomed to using Word that I'll actually download it and have it in a Word document on a computer separate from the computer, and that allows me to be more reflective and more engaged in the reading and the responding. And so I might even cut and paste it out of Google Sheets and put it into Word document so I can do my process. That was the reason for the tentativeness.
Field trips. We will have a scheduled field trip during our two-day retreat in February. But we really encourage you to do personal field trips, either by yourself or with other members of the group. Especially, like, they can be pretty basic. Like, if you've never been to a synagogue, maybe you would like to go to a synagogue, or you've never been to a mosque, you could do that. And often these things are very eye-opening. Okay. Want to add anything to that?
Yeah, in the years past, we've had a field trip to San Quentin, once to Soledad Prison, and with the pandemic, we can't get in anymore. So I don't know if it'll change this year, but if I can, I'll maybe in the springtime, I'll set up a field trip for those of you who can to go to San Quentin. There's It's a very powerful program there that we've been going to for years, and some of the students in our class here say it's the most impactful part of the whole program is that chance to go to San Quentin for the day, meet with the inmates. Most of them are lifers, people who are murderers, so it's quite pretty impressive to be sitting with them. But they're going through a year-long kind of chaplaincy program, that and to see their transformation, see what their process is, how deep they go, and it's a life-changing thing to be with them. And so it's such a privilege to be able to be part of their process. And so I'm hoping we can do it, but so I'll let you know when we get closer.
And usually, pre-COVID, I would take a field trip down to St. Anthony's Diner, which is in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. And that's a multifaceted charity now. And that's also a very powerful thing. But again, that was canceled during COVID. And we'll just explore these and we'll let you know at a later date. Sure, go ahead.
So every 2 months you'll have a chance to have an hour-long meeting with one of the three of us to talk about the chaplaincy training, talk about the volunteer work you're doing, talk about your own spiritual inner life that's related to what we're doing here. So it's up to you what you bring to us. And if you don't bring us something specific, then we'll take some initiative to ask you questions. There would be a schedule that will be posted on the website where you see your schedule. You have to take responsibility for contacting us for setting it up for the time that you're specified. And I think how it works is maybe half of you are 1 month and the other half is next month, so it kind of rotates that way. And then in addition, I think maybe you know this, that Vanessa Abel, who's a wonderful chaplain, she is also available as a resource. So you could set up your own mentor interview with her if you'd like and just to get more support if you need it. And then we have buddy contact. So you'll be assigned, there's a list. Is it made yet?
The buddies?
Yeah.
I think we do that more organically.
Oh, so, okay. So the idea is that each of you would, you'd all find a buddy, a partner here from the program, and maybe that can begin being done during a break today, that you ask someone here. And then if it's not set up somehow between now and the next class, then let us know. And then the next class we can maybe figure out how to make it work. But this is the idea of peer support is a really important part of chaplaincy. And as someone becomes like a professional chaplain, they continue with peer support or other peer chaplains who they check in with regularly and can be honest with and talk about what's going on, the process, their learning, their exploration, their all kinds of things. So this begins here with you all. So someone who you would make a phone call once a month or a Zoom call or meet in person if you live close enough and just chat about how it's going. And then if there's some challenge that you have in class, some challenge you have with the volunteering, then you have a buddy you can call up and say, can I just check in with you about it and have some chance to talk. So hopefully that will... It's a little bit, awkward, I think, to some of you. You don't know each other very well and today, and just to go walk up to someone, you don't even said hello to them. I realize it might be awkward, but somehow or other, between now and the next month, we hope that everyone will have a buddy. It will help next month, like I said, if indeed. And then you'll also be assigned to small groups. And the idea of the small groups is also part of this peer consultation and peer process of learning. And there, ideally, you would meet, the small group would meet once a month for an hour or two. And again, also be engaged in a process. Both the buddy and the small group could be a place you send your writings. So you maybe have some discussions and engagement around your writings with them. You might talk about some of the readings for the course. We don't focus too much here on the readings, so that's a good place to kind of augment the engagement for the reading and the small group meeting. And we think of the small group as also a very important component of the program. And so hopefully you'll kind of stretch to make it work, to take some stretching, because it's one more thing, people have busy lives. And then to schedule a group of people, that's like advanced Buddhist practice. And so you have to, so you have to kind of figure out, hopefully get schedules and for that. So that's section. Any questions about any of what Paul and I have said?
Is the smaller something you just
Sorry?
Also, is a small group something?
No, no, that you'll be assigned. And we tend to do it geographically.
Okay.
So there's some hope that you can be close enough together. And
meet in person if you can.
Yes, if you can. Yes?
Is there a preference for us to pick the buddy who's not in this small group for diversity, or is that like a mathematical impossibility?
Oh, it's possible. There's some logic, and that's a better idea. It's more range of discussion. But also, I think there's also value in who you're meeting with, too. So I wouldn't make it too important to separate those two out, but I like the idea. Yes? No, I can't. Maybe I turned up my hearing aid. Thank you.
I've kind of answered my own question. I was just wondering if you did this already, if it would be appropriate to raise hands like North Bay, East Bay, South Bay, just quickly. Would that be appropriate?
Appropriate to raise your hand?
To just say, like, North Bay. Who's in the North Bay?
Oh, no, or now. Bay? I think we have the record of who's who
okay. In
places in terms of creating the groups more or less geographical.
Yeah.
So for that purpose, I think that, for making the groups, we have that information. But if you just want a general sense of that here now, we could do it quickly.
Is that okay?
Sure,
North Bay?
That'd be great. How many people are kind of from the North Bay? Great.
East Bay? South Bay? Peninsula.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. Thanks. I wouldn't say West Bay.
And elsewhere?
Elsewhere, yeah. Is there elsewhere?
Santa Cruz can be part of the peninsula if you don't mind.
Thanks.
Next category is tuition. Thank you for sending your tuition deposits in. The next payment is in January. If you would like a monthly payment plan, you need to work that out directly with Gil. Gil is the cashier. I'll go on to the next one. Academic credit. A couple of you are already enrolled or considering enrolling in the Buddhist, for lack of a better word, seminary in the East Bay. Gil is the preceptor for that, and that's a whole other stream of activity. So if you're doing that or considering that, you'll be in contact with Gil. You don't have to do anything or start anything today per se, but just to let you know, that's he's the preceptor and the cashier. It's the same hat, actually, I think. And then I'll pass it to Paul.
The next thing is diversity, inclusion, and equality. As I mentioned this morning, it is our intention to uphold these standards. So please don't think we're experts in doing this. We will introduce over the period of the year, we will have some exercises on this. And certainly, if any of you have expertise or this is what you do with your organization, please contact us because we'd be happy and you can hear a little bit what your experience is and what you might suggest for this group. Okay. We also have a series of group agreements that we'll read next time. And what we do is, before we have any open discussions, we will read the group agreement so that they're in the foreground of our minds as we have the discussion. Okay.
Can you give an example of what some of those are?
one that says, I don't remember the exact language, but it says either come forward or step back. If your tendency is to speak a lot, explore stepping back. If your tendency is to never speak, well then challenge yourself to come forward and speak. And another one is try it on. You know, if someone says something that, oh, you have a different opinion to, well then try on this opinion, this perspective. It's probably something that I would have liked. And it also creates a kind of fluidity. It helps us all sort of move towards a consensus in holding a range of opinions and perceptions. Go ahead.
I just want to kind of share, I might have seen this before, but East Bay Meditation Center has a very good three-page document on multicultural equivalence. I learned it as part of my mindfulness meditation training. So it's two pages, but I think it's very, very close up along the lines of what you said. So.
The list we use, I think it has 10 points. And I think it may have come from the East Bay Meditation Center. Any other comments about that?
What's that? What is that from you? On withdrawal? Education?
Yeah, so
if for whatever reason you need to withdraw from the program, some people withdraw. Seems like actually probably most years at least one person drops out for some all kinds of reasons, so just let us know, and also we ask you to let the class know, so you can use Slack to contact everyone and explain what's happening and as much in whatever kind of specificity you feel comfortable with. But you know, let them know, let everyone know, and say goodbye. That would be nice. It's kind of little. It's been the whole idea of chaplaincy also is to learn how to make good goodbyes. The whole issue of how to be part of transitions is an important part of chaplaincy, but also part of your own heart and the heart of the people you're connected with. So if we request that you let everyone know in a nice way. And then for attendance, we have two kinds of ways. For when you finish, you get a certificate. And there's two possible certificates to receive. One is a certificate of completion, and the other a certificate of participation. So completion is if you complete the whole program. Participation is that you've missed enough of it that it doesn't really make sense to give you a completion. So you're allowed to miss one of these classes, these workshops, Friday workshops. If you miss more than one, then you should contact us, because if they miss two, for example, maybe we can figure out some kind of makeup that is kind of equivalent enough. And if you don't do the writing is important. So if you don't do the writing, then that becomes a participation rather than a completion. So I don't know what other elements there are, those are the main ones about participation and or completion.
I'd like to give some announcements for Vanessa. Thank you.
We had a meeting with Vanessa yesterday, and she asked that I make some announcements on her behalf. She will not be here in person, to my knowledge, this year. She moved away last month. Please sign up for Slack if you haven't already. We do not use email in this program. So that's really important. Vanessa will be hosting an optional writing workshop in a few weeks, and she'll announce this on Slack. So we found people often need a little like workshop to talk more about the writing and even do a little practice like we did this morning before the lunch break. And Vanessa is a writer, has a love for all things words and poetry, so she's a great instructor for this. And upload your photo on Slack if you can, because she doesn't know what you look like. And then Vanessa's role. So she manages our technology. She is working on a special project in our curriculum development. And she's also your chaplain and a neutral person. She's like a Switzerland, you know, because Gil, Paul, and I, as sheepishly as we can, do carry some authority, whereas Vanessa's somebody you might go to and say, this is not going so well. And she might say, well, go talk to them, or she might say to us, I've heard this from four people, and I think we need to do something different. So that's a little bit her role. And she took this course a few years ago and just wouldn't leave, basically, is what happened. Which we're really happy about. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was it from Vanessa. Did I miss anything? She'd really love it if you wrote to her and said hello and introduced yourself, actually. That's not on my list, but, you know. She wants to say, hey, Vanessa, sorry you weren't there. Want to say hi. I'll be darkening your doorstep soon. And also for writing assignments, I'll be communicating on Slack when I hold office hours where you can come to the Zoom room and talk to me, okay, for the people that are assigned to me. And we have one Zoom room that we use for lots of things, and that's posted somewhere. Okay. Is that the end of the announcements and logistics? You've seen it in writing. You discussed it with me in the interview. We've gone over it today.
Do you have any questions?
Or complaints? Ideas. I have a recommendation. Do not delay with the writing. And about halfway through the year, if you start sliding, by May and June, writing all those papers is really hard. People say, you know what? I'm going to take my certificate of non-completion participation, and I'm going to write the rest of these this summer. And then I'm like, okay, then you'll get a certificate of completion. Never, ever happened. So write a short, crummy paper instead of writing no paper at all. Write a list of, here's my 10 thoughts, but I just can't compose this into a cogent, pretty essay. But here's 10 thoughts, you know. Get something on paper, get her done, this is based on 19 years of data and observation. Related question?
Yes, related to the writing.
Okay, great.
So when we're giving, commenting on on reflections from other students, we're not commenting on their writing, like, in the traditional sense, right? Like, writing, coherency and all of that. It's
correct.
More about the thought.
It's the
and
spirit,
the,
of,
the spirit
writing,
of the writing,
not the accuracy of the writing.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll tiptoe towards what kind of feedback is, mm-hmm. and you'll discover, like, you might even say to your person, like, well, what kind of feedback would you like? You know, would you like to know how this impacted me? Would you like... I have a follow-up question of something that occurred to me that, you know, you didn't write about, you know. So it's really to practice discussing your writing with other people. That's the purpose. With us, the feedback will be teaching you, like, it's so easy to just talk about what happened. You know, like, I had this incredible experience. You know, like, let's say that you talked about your bicycle accident, Shriya, and your ICU experience. and just say, you know, and the chaplain just did a really great job about making me feel better. No, in the writing assignment, you would spend this much writing that happened and then write this much about what it meant to you, how it impacted you, where it led you. And then another this much on the Dharma, like what within the Dharma? Is this about compassion? Is this about the Sangha? Is this about ethics? You know, like, so it's really easy to get into details. And so our feedback often in the beginning is nudging you towards the reflective kind of stuff rather than the explaining it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or now that you mentioned that, this makes me think of that, you know. It won't be like, no, it's not that Brahmavihara, it's the other Brahmavihara. You know, it's not like, it's not that. It's not that, to my knowledge. At least I don't do that, you know. And then my thing, too, that I put on all the papers at the beginning is like, it's so easy to say, we have trouble being vulnerable in groups, in general, in our society, and I do too. It's very different to just write down, I have trouble being vulnerable in groups. So you always want to keep it in the first person. Like, this is like really personal, you know, and down the road, like professional chaplains write 20 pages and send them to 6 strangers and then have like an oral discussion about their work in order to get a credential. I mean, it's like, even if you're applying for a service position somewhere, somebody might say, well, send me a little letter about yourself and what you're looking for. So this is all part of some of the skill set, if you will, as a spiritual caregiver or chaplain. Does that make sense? Is that helpful? Yeah, yeah. If your paper's late, let us know. You know, if you don't hear back from us, make sure we got it. You know, if you're really worried about us getting it, then just hand it to us in class, you know, and send it electronically. So, you know. If you're asking your buddy what kind of feedback they got from Gil, and then you look at the feedback that I gave you, you're going to be disappointed if you start comparing, because... In case you haven't noticed, we are unique individual. We're each our own universe, so we bring all that who we are to what we read and process. You are welcome to give your paper to another person, though, but you have to ask first. Like, let's say I give you feedback and we're like, I really want to know what Paul would say about this. You can give him your paper in January, get his permission, and then he'll get back to you by August. Of the following year. One of our challenges is keeping up with the papers, like for us. You know, like a few years ago during the pandemic, we had too many students in ratio to the readers, so that got really hairy. Like 8 or 9 people doing, you know, 6 to 10 papers over the course of 10 months. How do you track that, let alone remember? I keep like a little, you know, checklist and stuff like that. But so just bear with us if things kind of, it doesn't hurt to check, but, you know, also like if Paul goes on retreat for 3 weeks in December or Gil does a 3-week retreat, seems like every other month these days, like, you know, I just, you know, don't like emails. So just bear with us. Yeah. And then I would also say on the writing, our feedback is not that important, in my opinion, It's the writing and the giving it to somebody else. That's where the learning happens. You'll get back from us and be like, oh, well, duh, you know, or like, okay, fine. But it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, it's more like, it's just this practice of exposing yourself, of disclosure, about seeing your own process in writing that's the most valuable. And it's teaching you that action reflection methodology of learning. And you get that from the writing more so than you get from our feedback. Does that make sense? That's my view. These guys are slightly different. I think they enjoy giving the feedback a little bit more than I do. I like knowing your process.
Yeah, one of the most common things I do in reply to the writings is I ask you questions. And it's common for people to immediately think, oh, I did it wrong. There's all these questions. I must have supposed to have done it that way. That's not... Usually I love the essays. I think almost always I appreciate them. And the questions are not meant to be corrective or anything's wrong. It's my job, I see, is to encourage you to stretch. Is to stretch you further, to get you to reflect even more. So that's the spirit of the questions that I if you get it from me.
Given the nature of the essays that they're meant to be reflective, This might be a bit superfluous, but will you send us the format you want it in, like, you know, double space, font size, and all that? Like how you want to receive it, the essays?
Not necessarily for me.
Okay.
Once someone sent one that was one word on every line going down, straight down for Paul.
Yeah.
And that was not the preferred way. There's the mantra in previous years is, have you checked the website? It's on the website. So get really familiar with the website. And I think this is one of the nicest years so far of how it's organized and set up on the website. So, but really make yourself familiar with it and what's there and how to navigate it. And it'll make a big difference if you're familiar with it. Yes, maybe a little bit longer too.
Great.
Because
we could just say hello to people?
Yeah, maybe say hello and maybe begin the process of, you know, buddy, yeah.
Okay.